Well, hi there, and welcome in to this Monday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Mark Congleton here, your sometimes humble host, for this hour of observation, insight, and absurdity. And boy, it's been kind of absurd. It's been kind of absurd today. In fact, I'm still mousing and clicking and working a couple of little glitches out. And I'll explain to you in a moment. But first up, thank you so much for being there. I appreciate the fact that you are listening, that today, on this Monday, just less than a week and a half until Christmas, you are involved, you're here, and I appreciate that, all of you podcast listeners. Now, the folks on Facebook Live are just now, there we are, they are just now getting on board because there was just this bizarro world little glitch that happened, and I'm still not sure everything is right. And now for the explanation. And this will fall into the absurd category because it was something that I totally and completely did not expect, but here we are. So what happened is everything today is run by computers, right? Everything is run by computers. And that's also true for this podcast. The podcast relies on three different computers handling different tasks. And I know you may be thinking, wait a minute, I've seen these guys. They've got their laptop computers and microphone, and they're doing podcasts. Yes. Yes, absolutely true. You can do it that way. But if you're doing it as a live version, a live broadcast, so to speak, and you're recording on the fly while you're going live, you have to feed your audio online to whatever distribution point, whether it be Facebook or YouTube or whatever, and as well as other things. And since this podcast is run a lot like a radio show with breaks and the like, I use a piece of management software that manages everything. The intro music, the bumper music, the exit music, all of the little the liners and the drops, everything. The PSAs that run in the break, everything is run through that particular computer. And then that computer is one of them. And then the big one, the big 27-inch iMac that's in front of me, that's the one that I keep track of everything as far as content is concerned, like the stories that we talk about, the articles I refer to, that's all coming through on that computer. And then there's the MacBook Pro, which is, I'm pointing and you can't see me, it's about 6 feet away from me over to my left. That's the one that manages the live feed that goes to Facebook, and it records everything. So it's doing two things. It's sending out the live feed to Facebook, and it's recording the live feed that goes to Facebook. And that computer recording, the recording coming off that computer, is what becomes the podcast that gets posted online about 15 or 20 minutes after I get through at 9 a.m. Central. I take that recording, clip out the breaks, and upload it to the server, and voila, it comes out to Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and the TuneIn Radio app. It goes to all those places by about 9:30 Central in the morning. So those are the three computers. The one that manages all of the content, the scheduling and all of that, that computer, when I checked on things, I came into the studio yesterday afternoon, late yesterday afternoon, and was looking things over to make sure everything was kosher. You know, just making sure everything's going to be okay. I wanted to do a couple of things in advance to make sure that everything was ready for today. Things that I typically will put off until the morning, and then I sometimes, as a result of that, I find myself in a scramble. You know, just because something else happens, as usual, something else happened. What? I didn't expect that. And there we go. Everything goes crazy. So I came in, looked things over this morning, and when I came in yesterday, there was a notice on this computer, which, by the way, is an ancient Mac Mini, which I don't even know how old that particular computer is. It's really old, and it's a... It runs very slowly, but it does what it needs to do when, you know, and I can depend on it. It just works. Let's see. I'm looking at it now. It's, no, that's the wrong one. The, It does what it needs to do. I can usually depend on it. There's not an issue with it at all. It functions flawlessly. It's slow, but it does the job. It's 9 years old. It's a mid-2010 Mac Mini, and it's a server. So, and I needed a server for this particular function. So, and the servers run slow anyway. They're like a file cabinet. They don't have to run graphics and all that other stuff. The server software is not intended for that. Anyway, what it does is it serves up the audio and all the other stuff, which is fine. It works just perfectly for that. Well, there was a notice for an update, an operating system update, when I came into the studio late yesterday and early yesterday evening. I said, go ahead. And I kept an eye on it for a while, and then when it was time to reboot, I rebooted it. Yeah, I let it reboot and thought, you know, it's a waste of time. I can check on this from my MacBook. I'll remote into it. So I left the studio and later checked on it. It's still going through the process. It'll be fine. In the morning, I'll be good. I came in this morning. I have black screen, nothing. It doesn't work. I reboot. And because that's in the Mac world, well, in every computer world, when you have an issue, you reboot, right? We'll just restart it. It'll fix it. So I restarted it, and what comes up next? Black screen, and then a little notice comes up. Update installing. 41 minutes. Ah! It was 20 minutes until time to start. And so, I'm not exaggerating. This is not just hyperbole. It's not exaggeration. Literally, 3 minutes before 8 a.m. Central Time, everything settled into place, and I was able to start getting everything running. And then I had to get the scheduler software to create the schedule, and it crawled and crawled and crawled and crawled and crawled, and then about a minute, roughly a minute after 8 o'clock, that's when everything got started. So yikes! It's been crazy, as you can tell. I can't even speak, but. So that's my absurdity for today. Everything went haywire on me, but I should have checked on it. I really should have checked on it last night again before I went to bed to make sure everything was right, and then come back to the studio and fixed the problem last night. So I wouldn't have had this panic attack this morning, but there you go. Such is life. But all is running now. I'm looking at everything, and everything is fine. Recording is ticking along nicely. The on-screen graphic, there's Miss Liberty, there's the flag, there's the newsroom, there's the clown car. That's, you know, it's all there. So everything is working just fine, and that means we can move forward with life. So how are you? Listen, aside from that insanity that happened to me this morning, this is probably the most excitement. I mean, I may have to go sit out. I may have to have a lie down because the panic was just, I was absolutely sure for a little while there. I was absolutely sure today would be no podcast Monday. And I actually had just sat down with a calendar and carved out the time that I'm going to be taking off over the holidays. And thought, well, I might as well start now because apparently my computer is already off for the holidays. And that, you know what? This makes the adventure out into the world of Christmas shopping over the weekend look lame, tame, nothing. And I thought that was bad. Woo! Let me tell you something. I have not been Christmas shopping at this time of the year in a very long time. Mainly because I don't like that experience. See, I'm one of those guys who plans a trip, a vacation, at off-peak times for wherever I'm going. Yeah, that means things will be closed, and some things will be closing early every day and such, but I don't have to fight the massive crowds. So when Jane and I take a vacation... let's just use a Disney park as an example. Yeah, we're old and we still go to Disney parks because we're kids at heart. And if we're going to Walt Disney World, I will plan a Walt Disney World trip when? In the summer? Oh, heck no. Everybody's there in the summer. I won't do it around spring break. I won't do it around fall break. I won't do it around any holiday. I will plan a trip to the parks either in January, the very beginning of January, right after New Year's, or I will do it right at the beginning of September, right after everybody's back in school. Because those are the two times of the year with the lowest crowd counts for Walt Disney World. Write that down where you write things on a small child or the family pet. Because it will come in handy in the future. But the kids have got school. Take them out of school. It's not going to kill them to have a few days away from school to build memories with the family. Just do it. Oh, Mark, you're stupid. Okay, good for me. But the thing is that's when I do it. I do things off peak. So Christmas shopping over the weekend was like going to Walt Disney World for New Year's Eve. It was pandelirium. It was insanity. It was it was so stupid. That's the only way I can put it. It was so stupid. Traffic and I used to live in this little town where we went shopping. It's called Trussville, and it's a suburb of Birmingham. And I live in Alabama, if you're not familiar. Birmingham, Alabama, just outside of Birmingham, Alabama. Jane and I used to have a house in Trussville, and it was great because if we needed something, Target was literally 5 minutes away. I mean, literally. That's including putting your shoes on, getting the keys, getting in the car, out of the driveway, to Target. It's 5 minutes from the house. That's how close we lived. And we didn't live right on a main thoroughfare. We lived a little bit off of it, but it was very convenient to everything. If we had to go downtown for anything, if we had to go across town, we were close to the interstate. Everything was a quick trip. That was great. And we eventually moved out to the boonies where we live now. And we love it in the boonies. But Jane and I were talking about it, and I don't think I remember ever, she said she remembers dealing with it, but I don't remember ever dealing with traffic the way we dealt with it over the weekend going Christmas shopping, because we went where there was a Target, where there was a Best Buy, where there was, you know, a lot of stuff relatively close, like retail centers. There was a Walmart, there's a Sam's Club, there's a Kohl's. It was, oh my word, we went all over the place. Oh, and that was Saturday. I'll have to tell you about Friday after the break, but the thing is that the traffic was a lot like the traffic that the parking complex at Walt Disney World. It was just loony. People backed up everywhere. Tail lights as far as the eye could see. Brake lights everywhere. Crawling along at a snail's pace. It was just loony. And in the parking lots, I almost got hit 4 times by other people who were just idiots behind the wheel. It was insane! Merry Christmas, everybody. Thanks so much for listening to The Daily Perspective. It is good to have you along. I was talking about the insanity, and this is just real brief. We'll get into the usual after this. The thing is that... excuse me. The thing is that... Friday, when was I? I was telling you about Saturday. That was nuts. That was crazy, crazy, crazy town. That was nuts. And then we wrapped the day. Oh gosh. See, we had all these places to go in that little town I was telling you about. And then I had one more stop to make at a thrift store to pick something up that I've spotted that my mom asked me to look for something, and I found it while we were out scrounging on Saturday morning. I sent her a picture and she just never responded. I ended up going back, and fortunately, it was still there. And one of the rules of thrift store shopping is if you see something and you like it, buy it, because it will not be there if you leave and come back, because somebody else is going to see it and like it, and they're going to buy it. So you go ahead and grab it, which I did not do because I didn't have the okie dokie to do so, but it was still there when I went back. Yay! So anyway, our plan, we were going to take Mom out to dinner. That's what she asked for Christmas. I don't want anything. Just come take me out to dinner. Let's spend some time together. Fine. So that's what we did. We went to an Italian place called Gianmarco's, which is, it's not an advertising. I've had lunch there a handful of times, and it's just, oh, wow, oh my gosh, it's just amazing. And I've talked to people from other places who have been in town and gone there, and they've said, there's nothing like that where I live. So That was the plan. We got there. They're stacked up. Standing. There's a waiting list. They've got people standing outside the door. We hadn't made a reservation because there was nothing about needing reservations on anything I looked at. So we opted for something else, and we went to a place called Dave's Pizza, which was loud. There were sports on all the screens. People were talking loud so they could hear each other over other people talking loud, but we still had a great time. Had a great time, had some great pizza, and had a terrific time. But then Friday, let's see, we went to Kohl's, we went to Sam's Club, which was right by Kohl's. Across the highway was Walmart. We went to Walmart. My wife realizes when we leave Walmart, she should have bought one more of these things at Sam's. So we went back over to Sam's. And then we went from Sam's out I-20 towards Atlanta. We went to Bass Pro Shops to pick something up there. And then we left Bass Pro Shops and we drove to the far side of the planet to the Galleria Mall, and which is, God, this, from, let's just put it this way, from the Bass Pro Shops to Sam's to the Galleria Mall is, on a good day, a 35 to 40 minute trip on the interstate. That's no traffic lights. You know what I mean? It's a 35 to more 40 minute trip from that place to the other. It was a parking lot once we got to a certain place. There was an area that we went to of probably about 10 miles that took us 35 to 40 minutes to get through. And that was nuts. Then we got to the mall, and the specific store that my wife wants to go to, there was a reason. Oh, it's because there's only two places where that is, and I know where this particular store is. Well, and it'll be quick, and I can make my final decision and get things done, and then I'll go back and pick it up after work one day. Yada yada yada. She wants to get something engraved, right? So we get there, she gets sidetracked, woo, shiny, and steps in this shop just after we walk into the mall, and so I stop at the mall map. And I look for this store we're going to go see, and it's not in the listing anywhere. It's just not there. And I pointed that out, and she said, oh, it's here. I know it is. It's right up over there. So we head over to where it is and wander around, and it's not there. And by this time, I've been on my feet through all these other places. My dogs are barking. I find a bench and say, listen, why don't you step in that store right there? That it's like it's a mattress. It's a bed store. Why don't you step in there and ask him, hey, where is this place? And she says, oh, okay. And she walks that way. I pull out my phone and I find a map of the mall and look up, and she has taken a Louie, and she's headed down the mall. She's not going in the store. She decided she's just going to go look around. And I'm like, if you ask, you find out like that. If you walk around, you might find it. But I find the mall map. I'm looking for this particular store. Oh, there's the name of the store. And I zoom, 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 zip. Oh, it says closed. It's not there anymore. The store is not in the mall anymore. It's gone. It is gone. We have gone through all of this, driven to the dark side of the moon, sat and watched taillights for, it seemed forever. It's raining. It's nasty. We're in the mall walking around. I'm dead tired. We've still got a birthday party to go to when we get through here. And I've still got to drive back through all of that mess. And it's about to be rush hour on a Friday. And I'm just thinking about all this stuff. And she's off wandering around looking for this store. And I've just found out it's not in the mall anymore. When she comes back around, I said, look at this. And I held it up to her, and she says, oh, well, there's one at this other mall. We can go there tomorrow. No. We got to the birthday party after slogging through traffic to get back home again, because we had to drop some things off, and we had to let the dog out and the other stuff. And so we go back home, and fortunately, this birthday party is literally across the highway from us. It's just... It's 5 minutes away. And so we get to the birthday party, and during, everybody's just kind of hanging around and chit-chatting, and I find myself a recliner, and I'm sitting back and watching. I'm watching a movie with my niece's hubby, and we're and I'm searching. Okay, I go to this the shop she was looking for was Things Remembered, and it's a place where you can buy like sterling silver picture frames and things like that and have them engraved and the like. And there's an old friend she wants to get something for Christmas, and she wants to put their names on little like coffee mugs or whatever. And so she, I go to the Things Remembered website to the store finder feature and put in the zip code, and within 50 miles, nothing. There's not a store within 50 miles of us. Okay, 100 miles. There's not a Things Remembered store within 100 miles of us. So this other store that she said we were going to go to the next day, no, not there. So she had to change her plans. But we did all of that. All of that. Yikes. It was just crazy. And I told my wife Saturday when we were sitting there looking at taillights and looking at brake lights on the way to... of all places, we're on our way to Lowe's, because she knows Lowe's has this particular kind of gift card she wants to buy for somebody on her list. And they didn't have it. So oh my Lord. Anyway, oh gosh. I told her, I said, listen, write this down where you write things. We're not doing this again next year. Or any year after that, because we're just not. It's just, please, we're not. Get your list together before the end of November, and let's just shop online. And we'll buy things locally that we can locally, but before the end of November. Because if you wait, it's just insane. It's just crazy. I don't understand how. And you know what? There are people who enjoy this kind of shopping. They enjoy, oh, I love the hustle and bustle and all the people and yada, yada, yada. You are sick. You need some kind of psychiatric care. You really do. No, just no. By the way, did I mention no? Just no. It's not going to happen. You not with me. No, not going to happen. It's a sickness. These are the kind of people who would want to be in the mob on New Year's Eve at Walt Disney World. Hey, that was great. Yeah, and it's going to take another hour and a half to get to the car. No, not me. It's not happening. Oh, gosh. All right. Now, that's been my absurdity. I've taken the first half of this podcast, Happy Monday to ya, just to talk about the insanity of my weekend and how everything went wrong today. And, wow, to think that to start off, what I was going to do was tell you a stupid criminal story and tell you when I'm going to be taking off for the holidays. And it should have started today, to be honest with you. It just should have. It really should have started today. But for future reference, write it down wherever you write things. We'll be taking the holidays off the next 2 weeks. So at the end of this week, we're going to take a 2-week break. We're going to take the time off between Christmas and New Year's. So, let's see, today is the 16th. We'll be taking beginning the 23rd that week through the 3rd of January. We'll be back on January 6th with the podcast, okay? So, starting the 23rd through January, until January 6th, 23rd through January 5th, we'll be taking a little time off and then back on January 6th. Welcome back to the Daily Perspective Podcast. Mark Congleton here with you, hoping you're having a happening day today. Gotta look at something here. Yeah, we're all right. We just gotta say hello. Good morning to Sunday. Good to see you there. If you've never listened live, I invite you to do so. Just run over to Facebook and look for the Daily Perspective Podcast, and you'll find it. There is a page, and weekday mornings, excuse me, from 8 to 9 Central, That's when I record and I go live on Facebook, which almost didn't happen today. Wow, what a crazy day. Let's see, where were we? Man, I've told you about all this stuff. Just a reminder, taking the next couple of weeks off, starting next Monday. Next Monday is Hanukkah. So it'll be taking the 23rd through the 5th. Be back on the 6th of January. Just write that down where you write things, okay? Scrawl it on the wall, hang it on the fridge, whatever you do. But that's when we'll be back. Let's see. I'm looking at my list of things. I've spent so much time just talking about the insanity of yesterday and the weekend and everything that happened this morning leading up to getting started. And now let's get to other things. I told you I was going to tell you about a stupid criminal. And this is coming to us from the Western Journal. There's a remedial lesson at least one armed robber seems to be in need of. So, and it falls under the basic aegis of situational awareness. Namely, if you're robbing a joint, it's really, really helpful if you notice if there's anyone else in the store. You know, like somebody with a gun. But how do you know if they have a gun, you may ask? This is a good question in this day and age where so many people carry concealed, even though you don't hear about it because the mainstream press is leftist and they don't like guns and they don't like the fact that a good guy with a gun stops bad guys with a gun literally thousands of times every day in America. If they're a police officer in uniform, that's generally a good sign they might have a firearm, though. This write this down someplace. It will help you keep track if, you know, if one of those is in the store. Shrewsbury, Massachusetts. Guy named Thomas Zikos. Apparently he wasn't paying attention to what you'd think is a cardinal rule of the armed robbery game. According to WBZ-TV, when Newton Police Lieutenant Dave Tempesta went to the corner mini mart on December 3rd, he was in uniform, but he was off duty. He's a favorite customer of clerk Charlie Patel. Charlie says, "He's my friend. If he doesn't come in, I call him. What happened to coffee?" Well, on December 3rd, he came in the store. Mr. Patel says, "It was 2 minutes, 2 minutes. The cop got here 2 minutes before the alleged robber came in." And according to reports, without noticing that Lieutenant Tempesta was in the store, the robber decided to pull a knife on Mr. Patel. He says, after opening the knife, "Oh my God, something's wrong." He said, "Open the register." It was a big knife. As the armed robber was emptying the register, he didn't quite seem to notice the police officer in uniform walk up to him. Until Tempesta pulled his gun. That's when the two began struggling. Thankfully, shots didn't need to be fired, and with the help of Patel and even some people who came in off the street once they saw a violent tussle underway, the suspect was subdued. Mr. Zikos, who said he was struggling with addiction, has been charged with armed robbery, resisting arrest, and assaulting Tempesta. Patel said, "Thank God the police officer was here. He saved my life." Well, most importantly, thank God he had a gun. It's become a cliche, and it shouldn't be. A good guy with a gun stops a bad guy with a weapon. In this case, it wasn't a gun, but a knife. Either way, the fact that Tempesta had a firearm drastically altered the calculus of the situation. In any other situation, the armed robber here would have made away with the money. He may have been caught. He may not have been. If he wasn't, he could have been doing this again. And who knows whether or not the clerk would be alive or dead at the end of the night. Instead, thanks to a cop with a gun, this situation ended safely. That's what responsible self-defense can do, and why the Second Amendment is so important. Even if the person is not a cop, a gun is a great equalizer. A lot of gun control advocates don't seem to understand this, or they don't want to. As for Lieutenant Tempesta, I bet he can be a customer in any convenience store he wants after this act of bravery. He'll probably keep on being a customer of Charlie Patel's, and that's going to make Patel feel a lot more secure. After all, the next armed robber will likely be smart enough to take my advice and steer clear of any establishment with a uniformed cop inside. If they don't, it'll likely end up the same way this situation did. I mean, there's even video. Get the show notes today and make sure you watch the video. The cop walks up. It's the security video. Cop walks up, points the gun at the guy. The guy's got his hands in the till. He's totally oblivious to the fact that there's a cop there. I mean, he didn't even notice he was there. He walked up to the counter in uniform. The guy doesn't notice he's there until he's got a gun in his face. And then he fights the cop. Hello? He fights with an armed police officer. There is a growing attitude in America today with people who have zero regard for the law. To have zero regard for law enforcement. These people who are actually there to protect their community. If one of their own is caught in a crime, these people blame law enforcement if anything goes wrong. Let's say this guy, the robber, Mr. Thomas Zekos of Shrewsbury, Massachusetts. Let's say everything went as bad as possible for him. And as a result of him being aggressive with a knife, the cop felt like the only way to control the situation was to stop this man with terminal force. And so shots are fired. And Mr. Thomas Zekos of Shrewsbury, Massachusetts, rather than going to jail, is now going to the morgue. What do you think would happen in the community had that happened? What would happen in the community if it had turned out that way is that all of Mr. Zeko's neighbors, all of his buddies and friends from the hood, his mother, his grandmother, his aunts, would all be in the streets screaming, weeping, wailing, and blaming the police officer for shooting the man who was trying to kill him. How can I say this? Because Newton police officer, Police Lieutenant Dave Tempesta, is not the only person who's ever been in this situation. Even though he didn't pull the trigger, many others have. And every time it happens, the next thing is, all of the hood rats come out and start screaming at the cops for having to deal with one of their own who has no respect for the law. And that's a sad, sad situation. And it seems to be getting worse. We're having police officers murdered in their vehicles, people walking up to the window of their vehicles and shooting them point blank. We're having people who don't see the law enforcement as authority anymore. And it's because of people like Al Sharpton and the rest of those manipulative con artists who are convincing people in minority communities that law enforcement is only there to hurt them and to victimize them. And there's the word, the key word, victim. It's a very sad thing. For years, my wife and I went to a church where the pastor was a retired cop, former cop. He had been a police officer, and then he got into the real estate business. And when he was in the real estate business, he became a Sunday school teacher, and then everything moved from there. He eventually began pastoring. And he was the first officer on the scene in Birmingham, Alabama, in response to the 16th Street Baptist Church bombing. Now, we're all familiar with the 16th Street Baptist Church bombing because it is a civil rights, it's an iconic civil rights event where people blew up a church. People died. And when he showed up, they weren't there screaming and yelling at him. They were happy to see him. I actually asked him about it. Because when I learned about this, the attitude in the community was very different towards police. But back when this actually happened, the police presence was a symbol of security and safety and peace. And all of those people from the neighborhood were happy, were glad to see him there, because he represented protection from what had happened to them. That attitude has changed a lot. A lot. And that attitude change is because of the leftist movement and people like Al Sharpton. Please, I need to recommend again, as I did the other day, that you go to YouTube and you search Al Sharpton and Senator Gaetz from Florida. Matt Gaetz, G-A-E-T-Z. Matt Gaetz, Al Sharpton. Watch that video. Watch the video and watch the attitude. Al Sharpton's attitude and the attitude of the black members of the panel and how they respond to Gaetz's legitimate questioning of this man who is doing everything he can to wear down time and to manipulate the conversation. It will tell you everything you need to know about what's happening with race in America today.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch.
Welcome back to The Daily Perspective, and Merry Christmas. The holidays are upon us. It's Monday, the 16th of December, 2019, counting down until Christmas, just 9 days away. And I hope you've got all your Christmas shopping done. I told you about my adventures, but hopefully you haven't been through the same thing. And the thing is, with all of that I told you about earlier, only two items that we picked up that day were anything I had to do with. Everything else I've already gotten done. Anyway, I want to read you a quote, and then we'll guess who it's from, okay? Quote, "I will fight for you in Flint, no matter how long it takes. This is, for me, a personal commitment. I will stand with you every step of the way." Flint is Flint, Michigan. You've heard about their issues, their water problems, and everything that's going on in Flint, Michigan, right? "I will fight for you in Flint, no matter how long it takes. This is, for me, a personal commitment. I will stand with you every step of the way." These words were spoken in February of 2016, almost 4 years ago. These words were spoken by Hillary Clinton. She has not been back to Flint or done one single solitary thing to help them. Nothing. She has enough political clout, even if she's not in office, that if she really cared, she could get some things done. She could pull some strings. She's got the influence. But no. It was all politics. And that tells you a lot. She was there lying to the people of Flint, Michigan to get their vote. Would she have done anything if she was elected president? I doubt it. We've seen the pattern. It plays out again and again and again as progressive politicians lie to appeal to certain groups of people to get their vote, make them grand promises about what they're going to do once they have the power of the presidency at their disposal. And then, once they're elected, nothing happens. It still doesn't happen. A year later, still nothing. 2 years later, 3 years later. The only thing that really happens is excuses and blaming other people for blocking the path. That's all that happens. You see, progressive politicians make promises they know they can't keep just for the purpose of swaying people's opinion, just to get their vote. They know they won't have any way to do what they're promising to do because the system is not set up for things to happen that way. And it's happening right now. If you look at the Democrat field, you will see all of these members of the clown car posse who are making promises, talking about the things they're going to do for all of these victim classes, these poor, oppressed people in the various victim classes. And there's not a thing they can actually do for them. Not under our system of government, but they always promise they will. Why? Because they got to have that vote. And to get that vote, they will lie. That's just how they do it. Flip that over, and Donald Trump made promises, and he's been fulfilling those promises. While the Democrats have been playing impeach the Prez has been completing and fulfilling the promises he made during the campaign. He's actually been at work doing the things he promised he would do, because he promised to do things he could do. And in spite of the fact that most Americans approve of him, the House Judiciary Committee voted Friday in the morning to recommend two articles of impeachment against President Trump, including abuse of power and obstructing Congress. The White House responded to the vote, which was strictly along party lines, calling the ongoing impeachment effort, a desperate charade. White House Press Secretary Stephanie Grisham released a statement. It reads, "This desperate charade of an impeachment inquiry in the House Judiciary Committee has reached its shameful end. The president looks forward to receiving in the Senate the fair treatment and due process which continues to be disgracefully denied to him by the House." The Washington Examiner reports the impeachment vote is likely to clear the House, where it will be then proceed to the Senate. There, Senate Republicans may look to turn the tables on the impeachment process toward one more favorable to the president. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has already said his chamber will not vote to convict the president. The Washington Examiner adds, "The two articles, Abuse of Power and Obstruction of Congress, accuse Trump of withholding security aid from Ukraine in an effort to exert pressure, forcing government officials to investigate Democratic actions to undermine Trump's 2016 campaign and to investigate corruption allegations against Joe Biden, who's one of Trump's top political rivals, and his son, Hunter Biden. The president has repeatedly railed against the House's investigation, decrying it as unfair because many of the witnesses Republicans wanted to call, including the younger Biden, were not called to testify. Republicans in the Senate are expected to either dismiss the charges or acquit Trump after the trial." ABC News reports, "Trump is now the fourth president in American history to face impeachment by the U.S. House of Representatives, the others being Andrew Johnson in 1868, Richard Nixon in 1974, and Bill Clinton in 1998. The report adds, "The Judiciary Committee will send both articles along with an accompanying report to the House Rules Committee, which is expected to meet on Tuesday," that would be tomorrow, "to formalize the floor debate on the charges. The House is expected to hold two votes, one on each article of impeachment, on Wednesday." The committee voted briskly in just 10 minutes Friday morning after a raucous and bitter 14-hour debate on the charges Thursday that lasted well into the night. I remind you that in the previous three cases, there were actual crimes. They actually had the evidence. They actually had the commission of crimes. They actually had all of this before they went to the impeachment process. This time, the desperate Democrats are using the impeachment process to try to find a crime. They're making it up as they go. It's pretty sad. And on top of that, they're trying to delegitimize the 2020 election. They say it's already been corrupted. I don't know if you caught that over the weekend, but not a single vote has been cast yet in this election, the 2020 election, but the top House Democrats are already beginning to delegitimize its outcome. in a joint Sunday morning TV show appearance on ABC's This Week with George Stephanopoulos, House Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff and House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jerry Nadler implied that next year's election may have already been corrupted by President Donald Trump and his campaign. Stephanopoulos asked Schiff to react to the news that Trump's personal lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, was in Ukraine as recently as early December to investigate Hunter Biden's business dealings in the country. It is common and legal for political campaigns to conduct opposition research for their opponents. Schiff, who described Giuliani's trip as a threat to our election's integrity, said, "This misconduct goes on." The House Democrat added that the Trump campaign's opposition research effort represents a clear and present danger, I think, to our democracy, and not something we can turn away from simply because the Republicans in the House refuse to do their duty and continue to put the person of the president above their constitutional obligation. Let me remind you at this point that opposition research is what produced the Steele dossier. It was the Clinton campaign and the DNC's opposition research, their desperate desire to find any and all dirt they could use against Donald Trump to undermine his campaign and to prevent him from becoming president of the United States. That's what produced the massive lie that is the Steele dossier. And we know how that turned out, don't we? So Adam Schiff, once again, is a bald-faced liar. By the way, I don't know if you saw this, but Nunes called him out and told him he needed to be rehabilitated. It's precious. Hey, that's it for today. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow on the Tuesday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. God bless you. Bye-bye.